Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During July, we've been talking about the five freedoms of faith. First, we talked about freedom from sin, the most important freedom by which we are saved to eternal life. Second, we talked about freedom from hate. God replaces hate with love in our lives. Last week, Pastor Merle talked about freedom from weariness. Jesus replaces weariness with rest for our souls. Which brings us to freedom number four. Freedom from lies. God wants us to replace lies with the truth. Now, the Bible tells us that lying is a sin. The eighth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 16, says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." But even without the Bible, all of us, even people who don't believe in God, know lying is wrong. What's even more interesting, we all know it's wrong, and yet all of us have done it. We justify lying. We excuse it in our own lives when we do it. We say when we do it, we all have a good reason. But when someone does it to us, how do we react? We get really, really, really mad. We hate it when people lie to us. And we have a hard time forgiving it. God's very clear about lying. He hates it. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lying, like all sin, brings bondage. God wants to replace lies with the truth because it is the truth which sets us free. So let's talk about those lies, the lies that bring bondage. Now, there are three main sources of lies and deceit in the world: the lies of Satan, the lies of the world, and the lies of our sinful nature. Let's talk about each of those today. All three of these, of course, conspire together to do really bad things. To be aware of all three. The first source of lies, of course, is Satan himself. John 8:44, when Satan lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus says that Satan was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden. He, in one sense, murdered the whole human race by tempting them into sin. And his murder weapon was not a gun, it was not a knife, it was not a lead pipe in the library. No, Satan's murder weapon was a lie. A lie that he continues to tell today. A lie that he continues to use to bring temptation, sin, and death to people today. It was a lie in the form of a question, and it started this way. Did God really say? Did God really say you shouldn't eat of that tree? Now, Adam and Eve knew exactly what God had said, and that it was God who said it. There were only three people in the world at that point: Adam, Eve, and God. They knew very well what God said, but the lies of Satan caused them to doubt, and that sets the pattern for the rest of history. Satan, first and foremost, loves to attack the Word of God, the Bible, and still does that today. I know the Bible says really a sin, that I know the Bible says that's really a sin, but if it's okay, it feels good, do it. Or lying's okay as long as it's just a white lie, right? Do you really believe what God says in the Bible? Do you really trust God's word? Satan is always trying to undermine. Do you really believe everything in the Bible? Something, sure, but some of it just goes too far, don't you think? Satan is constantly undermining our trust and belief in God's word. He constantly wants to do that. Take note how often the Bible, God's word, gets attacked today. It's always being attacked. Always criticized, always judged, always picked apart, always taken out of context. That's not just today, that's all of history. No book in history has been attacked, criticized, and taken out of context more often than the Bible. Do you think that's an accident? Someone or something is behind that. And who do you think that is? That's not just people. The devil himself, Satan himself, loves to attack God's word. Pay attention to the lies of Satan and see how he relentlessly attacks God's word. Second of all, there's the lies of the world. Not only does the devil lie to us, but so does the world. Now, by the world, I don't mean the planet Earth. The world is people, the culture we live in that has turned away from God and rebelled against him. Now, the world lies to us in many ways, more ways than I could possibly talk about today. But I think it helps to remember the words of the Apostle Paul from 2 Timothy chapter 2. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. That's so picturesque. The world attacks mostly with quantity, not quality. It fills our lives with more and more noise, more and more incoherent babble, more and more lies, misinformation, and attempts to overwhelm the Christian with so much babble that it wears us out. Now, that started back at the Tower of Babel and continues to this day. The world is always desiring to promote discord and quarreling instead of the peace and joy that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were many false preachers at the time Paul wrote 2 Timothy, trying to preach a different gospel. Some of those false preachers were attacking the truthfulness of the resurrection. Paul tells Timothy to focus on that which matters most. Paul reminds Timothy to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. 2 Timothy 2, 8 and 9. In a world full of memes, mean tweets, and misinformation, it's more important than ever to remember the simple and powerful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In about 5 months from now, in December, I don't want to spoil it for you, but we will be celebrating the birth of Christ. And one of my favorite Christmas hymns is "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." I especially love verse 2, where it describes the angels coming to earth with their wings unfurled to sing their song of joy and peace on earth, goodwill to men. Contrasting it with the constant chatter of the world with the song of the angels. And the last line says it so well. "And ever over its babble sounds, the blessed angels sing." The angels know what matters most, not the babble of the world, but the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Number 3, the lies of the sinful nature. The third source of lies is not something outside, but something inside, our own sinful nature. Our own sinful nature, our own natural desire to rebel and sin against God. Again, there are lots of ways our sinful nature lies to us. Or to put it another way, there are lots of ways we lie to ourselves. But I think I can sum up most of those lies in one sentence. This sin, even though God tells me not to do it, will make me happy. Because we all want to be happy. And the sinful nature lies to us and tells us that the way to be happy is by disobeying God and indulging sinful pleasures. But that is not the way to happiness. It's the way to slavery. That's what Jesus tells us in John 8. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Sin might bring pleasure for a few minutes, but it never leads to lasting happiness. And it never, ever brings real joy in our life. Sin, instead, leads a different path. It leads to slavery and addiction, and then misery, and then death. We see it over again. Over and over again, people indulging in substance abuse or some other form of addiction, and it causes slavery, misery, and death. It destroys their relationships, their careers, their peace. It destroys everything that would actually bring them happiness. Sin promises everything and gives us nothing except pain, misery, and death. That is the lie of the sinful nature. True joy, true happiness are blessings from the Lord. So, 3 sources of lies. Satan, who attacks God's word. The world that fills us with empty chatter and meaningless babble. And the sinful nature, which thinks that sin can bring happiness, and it never does. God wants us to replace those lies with the truth. Because truth brings freedom. But, as Pilate asked, what is truth? Well, number 1, God's word is truth. Where can we find truth in a world full of empty lies and meaningless babble? It all starts with this book, the Bible. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." No book has been attacked, criticized, and picked apart in history more than the Bible. And yet the Bible still stands as the most important, most read, most influential book in history, and it is still changing lives today. Why? Because the Bible is not a regular book. It is God's inerrant, inspired word. It's not one of many books. It is the book because it is God's word. God's word is always true because God never lies. And that's one of the themes of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And since the Bible is God's word, one of the most important things we can do is to read, meditate, and study the Bible, which is why at church, we really encourage everyone to be in Bible study or Sunday school. We're disciples of Jesus Christ, and the word disciple means learner. When we read and study the Bible, we are sitting at Christ's feet, listening to his voice, learning from him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, or I should say 2 Timothy chapter 2, says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. By reading God's word, by meditating on God's word, by studying God's word, we gain knowledge of the truth that overcomes the lies of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And there's a good reason to do that, because number two, God delights in the truth. I shared with you a little bit about Proverbs 12 earlier. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But let me read the rest of that verse. But those who act faithfully, those who tell the truth, are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That's one of the strongest possible negative words in Hebrew, by the way. God abhors, detests, completely rejects lying lips. They are an abomination to him. But as strong as that is, he delights in faithfulness. He delights in the truth. Isn't that beautiful? God loves it when you tell the truth. God delights in the fact that you are being honest. That is motivation enough for all of us to tell the truth. Our Father in heaven delights in it when we tell the truth. Now, he always delights in us as people, but he also can delight in our actions. And he delights when we tell the truth, when we are honest, even or especially when it's hard. God, your loving Father, delights in you, which makes sense because love always rejoices in the truth. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, along with love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. It also says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 Corinthians 13:6-7. God in his love delights in telling the truth. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Telling the truth is the loving thing to do. And number three, the truth sets us free. Jesus says the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what's he mean by that? Well, that's what this sermon series is about. God sets us free by the power of his word. He sets us free from the bondage of this world which we live in. He sets us free from lies and replaces it with the truth. He sets us free from weariness and replaces it with rest. He sets us free from hatred and replaces it with his love. Next week, we're going to talk about how God sets us free from worry and replaces it with his peace. And most importantly, God sets us free from sin and replaces it with his forgiveness and grace. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.